It looks like we're all clear.
And welcome to the after show show here on G220 Radio. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about tonight, but should be
no takers on coming in.
No takers. There was some people in the chat room, but I just figured I'd throw it out there and see if we could get a grab. Sometimes people get intimidated. You know how many times in the past where I've asked people to come on the show as guests and they're real good at having conversations with you and all this stuff. I've even talked to them on the phone. But as soon as you say we're going to do the radio show, they're like other people are going to listen to this. And then there's some type of intimidation. I'm like, it's just like a regular conversation we were having. Like it's
we
not
just record it.
Yeah. We just record it. It's not anything like spectacular. I think it does tend to, make some people a little nervous.
Yeah, I get that. I was a little nervous when George first asked me to start a podcast with them.
Yeah.
One, because I've never done it. Two, because I'm not really sure about the subject that he wanted to talk about, linguistics. And yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a decent show tonight. I think we was able to cover quite a bit there. And it still amazes me that these confessions, some of these chapters are shorter than others, and yet it can still take up the entire time of conversation. Right. Like, you know, so much there. We could have probably even, you know, gone a bit deeper. And I was looking at the time and I was like, okay, maybe I should back off a little bit because, you know, like I don't want to.
I've seen there. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
There's so much to cover. Like when they talk about it's not an S faith. I mean, there is. Kind of mentioned it before the show, before we actually got on, but the difference that Calvin kind of connects assurance with faith in a linear fashion. And here you kind of see where they're kind of breaking away from Calvin's understanding of faith and assurance and that connection with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much that we can get into. And hopefully next week we're supposed to do chapter 19. And we're supposed to have a pastor come on the program. And so hopefully that'll happen. And if not, I think we can pick it up and kind of run with it. And I think we've done well with that. Somebody offered me a grill during the show. That's why I stopped. There was a pause. I didn't know if I was getting a message from somebody that was wanting to come on. So I was kind of like looking over there, but somebody offered me a free charcoal grill. It's like one of those,
man.
It's like one of those, it looks like a barrel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It looks great. He said he's only had it for a few months and he's getting rid of it. And he asked me and Austin if we wanted it. And so I beat Austin to the punch. So I was like, I'll take it. So, yeah, I got to go pick it up, this week sometime, but, yeah, that'll be good. I have one with propane, you know, for grilling, but,
taste the meat, not the heat.
Yeah. Well, I like charcoal though too, you know, so this will be nice to have something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I would like to at some point, whenever this stuff kind of either gets back to some type of, you know, normal. I hate to do that. You know, George made a whole post about the new normal, but if it gets back to some type of normal, you know, normalcy, I want to be able to come down to Kentucky. And I would love to, you know, actually maybe even make a trip, me and Nathaniel, just yeah. Come down and we can hook up and do a live G220 radio with the three of us, you know, maybe sitting in a coffee shop or something. If that works, I don't know.
Live G220 and yeah. Cello jam session.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. It would be
cameras down.
Oh yeah. It would be great. Even if we can't go live, we can record it and then just put it up, you know? And so that would be fun, but, it would be good. And I think it would be nice too, because then we can maybe work out some of the, learning the different things that each of us know how to, like things you know how to do on OBS that I don't, and maybe things that I've figured out that you don't, and we can both help Nathaniel figure it out, you know.
Here's the problem with Nathaniel. He has a Mac.
Right.
OBS, yeah. And Macs, from all my research, because I have a coworker trying to use OBS to do live streams for work. Though while I've been a great help, she had a Mac. And Macs have this weird thing where they don't allow programs to talk to each other and share sound.
Mm.
And so how we set up our OBS to feed sound in doesn't work on Macs.
Mm. Well, Tony might know how to get around that, because Tony is...
You can get programs to get around it.
Yeah.
So either you have to take the sound out and bring it in a different way, or you have to have a program that creates these routes.
Yeah.
Basically, it creates a new input that allows other programs to pull from that input.
Yeah. Or if we raise enough money for the G220 Radio Fund... We might just have to get Nathaniel a real computer, you know, like not a Mac.
Idea would be to run everything out and have, see, this is just my perspective. I'd rather have lots of control over my sound. And if I can run it out and control it that way before bringing it back in, it would be better.
Yeah. See, but I don't even know what you mean, how you do that. I mean, I have a mixer.
I mean, that's, you'd either have to have a mixer or you'd have to have an audio interface in which you use your computer's like headphone jack to go out into your interface and then bring it back in through the interface.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of technology. Technology is great. You know, if you don't know how to do stuff, it can be very, I don't want to say stressful, but it can be like, you know, you're kind of like, trying to figure it out. And
this is a lot of it is because I deal with I've done a lot of like house sound. So a lot of it is how does some of house sound work? So house sound and live mixing work with now live streaming and how those, that's why I'm kind of really interested in the Rode mixer, because it's the first kind of mixer designed for podcasting use. And yeah. I just don't have $600 to spend on a new toy.
Well, that's why, you know, like I figured if for whatever reason, if people feel led to donate any money, any type of money that we can get, you know, we can kind of use that to work towards purchasing some equipment that we may need. And I'm pretty much set, because I've already accumulated a lot of things over the years of trying to do the radio program. Yeah. And so I've got the things I believe that I need at this point. There's always more things I would like to have. But I mean, I think I've got I have the basic things that I need to put out, you know, a good sound or to put out good video quality for the program. But you know, so I don't really need much. So whatever we can bring in, that would be good to be able to go ahead and try to get some more equipment, because this way, you know, like it just makes things easier on, you know, everybody. Cause then if at some point we could figure out how to switch between people, or have somebody continue, or like dealing with one aspect of something, or being able to, with a mixer, add sounds and things into the program. If we ever figure that out, you know, even though it's on OBS, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can figure out more things to kind of, add to the program, you know?
Yeah.
I think Mike froze on us.
Yeah.
So Nathaniel, how you doing, man? You tired?
Yeah, pretty tired. I've been riding my bike like 8.5 miles a day.
It's quite a bit.
Yeah, it's fun.
Just around the neighborhood, or you been going to the park or what?
No, there's not a lot of neighborhood around here, so I like ride along. It's not like it's not like a city block or anything. It's more like wide open, like a township would be. And so, yeah. I don't know. It's just like going tour, I guess. But I listen to podcasts. It gives me time to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Been listening to the podcast, Doug Wilson's podcast, just because he thinks interesting things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think what I've been listening to. Today I was listening to the Reformed Forum. So I just went to the Reformed Forum and just kind of listened to a couple programs off of there. I listened to some stuff on the 1689 today with chapter 18, you know, some different teaching that was on it from different people. And let's see what else. I listened to a episode of Andrew Rappaport's podcast, the Rap Report.
It's clever.
Yeah, it's clever. Other than that, you know, I really didn't listen to much else. Yeah, I don't know.
You should check out like something else I was listening to. Like if you go to RTS on the iTunes podcast thing on your phone. You have iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Like if you look up RTS, they have a ton of lectures. And before,
I've heard them all.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
You listen to all the philosophy ones and everything?
Yeah, I've listened to everything.
Okay.
On RTS. Oh. I actually liked it before when they had the iTunes University.
Yeah.
Because it's, unless I just don't know what I'm doing with it now with the Apple stuff, it doesn't, like, you don't know, like, it doesn't necessarily set up in order.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Before, I could just click it on that lecture and I could go down, like when it was going through church history, I could go in order.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I don't know which order it's in. It's just all over the place. And it's difficult to kind of navigate through it.
Yeah. It's
Mike wants to get back into the conversation. Should we let him in? Ah, here he is.
Yeah. But anyway, I was listening to all those philosophy lectures and I kind of had to take a break because some of that stuff's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I loved RTS. I've listened to all those different lectures. And that was years ago when they had the iTunes University stuff. I just enjoyed going through those, learning a lot of stuff. I love the history. I tried to go through the history at least once a year.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep my mind fresh on what, you know, church history and whatnot. But yeah. If only they could just fix that. Now with Apple Pod, whatever they call it, Apple Podcast or Pod, whatever, where you can actually get them in order, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I like church history though. I have the Ligonier Church History with Dr. Godfrey.
I
watched it once, and I might have to throw it on the iPod.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that too. Actually, every once in a while when Ligonier is giving something away for a donation, I tell Elise, I say, hey, send them a donation and get that free. You know, it's not free. You're giving it, you give a donation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get something in return. But it's always, there's always good stuff with it, you know.
Yeah. I think. Well, I get free access to some of their stuff at Ligonier. For being one of the members, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, what is this, like their truth partner or whatever, monthly donation or something?
Monthly. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom does that and she is like table talk and stuff.
Huh. Yeah.
Go this way. Oh.
So guys, failure here on our part of G220 Radio. I tried to give away the CSB Bible. Either nobody likes the CSB Bible or they just didn't listen to those shows. because I got no essays. So I have this CSV
Bible. Well, try because you asked for essays.
Yeah, well, I was trying to say, like, I wanted to try to get people to, you know, give me something so that I know they're listening to the program. It's not just a quick jump into the, you know, I would want to give it to somebody who's actually enjoys the program and listens to the program. So maybe we can come up, huh?
So I get that.
Yeah. So maybe we can come up with something and maybe throw like a little basket thing together. Maybe we can figure out a way of people, you know, getting the CSB Spurgeon Study Bible and maybe a couple other things we can maybe put together and give. But, you know, just something and then coming up with a way to give that stuff away.
yeah. I wonder, like, using the King Sumo kind of what Things Above Us is using.
What is it?
There's like some of those, like, where people can, you can make it where people have to, like, they get so many entries, and you can make it where if they like us on Facebook, they get an entry. If they like us, subscribe to our channel, they get entry. Could possibly do something like that. Subscribe to us on Podbean.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That might be a better way to go.
Yeah. Something, you know what I mean? To kind of get people to.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, man. Like, I don't know. I think that with G220 Radio, I think we've got a decent content. I think we have some really good guests on at times. And even when we don't, I think we have, like I said, decent content. I think that we probably just, because we're not dispensationalists, I think a lot of people don't like us. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
It's because we have that latent anti-Semitism.
What?
Yeah, don't you know that anyone who has a covenantal understanding is a latent anti-Semitism about them?
Oh, okay.
That's what America's number one Bible teacher says.
Who's America's number one Bible teacher?
Oh, you know. John MacArthur.
Oh. Of course, he has something to say like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of MacArthur, I thought it was funny because we're talking about dispensationalism. I mentioned that I don't believe in dispensationalism. I think it's, you know, it's just, it's made silly. Up. It's made
it's
up.
Made up.
But, and oh boy, everybody was all upset. MacArthur comes out just recently and says Christians shouldn't protest. And all these people that got mad about, you know, us saying something or me saying something about dispensationalism and John MacArthur's wrong in this area, they was all like, you know, I respect John MacArthur, but he is wrong in this area here. You know, Christians protest, you know, and fight for our rights, you know, give me liberty or give me death, you know. And I'm just like, okay, did he touch a nerve now?
Well, MacArthur says that the American Revolution was sin. Like he documented that. I don't agree with him, but yeah. So what I did find funny listening to George trying to make a new podcast, Alvarado and Rappaport, that
we're gonna hashtag this one, George Alvarado. This one's for you, George.
And how Andrew was very much pointed target at you without mentioning you when he goes, like, some people say dispensational is just
eschatology.
It's like, he's so going after Ricky. He knows it.
That's funny. Me and George actually talked about that program because I'm subscribed to things above us because Michael's my friend. I like Michael Coughlin.
Yeah.
No, he's on the Bible Thumping Wingnut Network, but he's a good brother. I love that brother. We was just at his house, Nathaniel and I. What was it, last week or the week before?
The week before.
Week before.
Right. Was it the week before or was it last?
I think it was. I think it was the week before. It's
yeah, because we did it was a couple weeks ago because last week we did protest.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it was the week before that you guys went.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just before the last show.
Saturday.
Yeah, and we had a great time. I always enjoy hanging out with Michael. He's a great brother. And so I subscribe to the Things Above Us Roundtable, you know, program, and I enjoy when I listen to those guys. And George is on there now, you know. I just listened to that's another one I forgot I listened to today was his latest Things Above Us Roundtable that he had with an author on speaking about the ascension of Christ, you know. I thought it was really good program, and I guess we can't really hate on George, you know. With Things Above Us, they have a better, I don't want to say a better schedule. They kind of just come together when they can and record.
Yeah.
We're kind of regulated to Tuesday nights. And so that was obviously an issue for him. But yeah, I mean, George, new podcast. What'd you say? Alvarado. own podcast, Alvarado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll probably like that. If he even listens to the show anymore, I don't even know if he listens.
I don't know.
I just talked to George the other day.
Yeah.
I love George.
Yeah, I do too. George is a good brother.
There are two Georges I love in this world. George Alvarado and George Costanza.
Oh, he's heard his TV dad passed away yesterday.
Oh, really? Ben Stiller or Jerry Stiller?
Jerry Stiller, yeah.
Man, that's a shame.
Ben Stiller announced it last night, yeah.
It said he was funny.
I didn't realize this of him. Well, first, I didn't realize he was Ben Stiller's dad.
Oh, really?
So that was – I don't follow pop culture whatsoever. Second, he used to be a comedy duo with his wife back in, like, the 70s.
No way.
Yeah, like him and his wife, it was one of the first duos, and that's how they got popular.
And then
she kind of went on her own and kept getting popular, and then he got the gig for Seinfeld, and then King of Queens after that. Yeah.
Don't jump on me or stone me.
I will.
Well,
when you come to Kentucky.
Nathaniel. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because of my coffee, right? But I never really got into Seinfeld. I don't maybe it's just my humor. I really wasn't a fan of it. I did like some of the episodes of Kings of Queens that you brought up.
King of Queens.
Back in the day.
King of Queens.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably wouldn't recommend Seinfeld now. It's got a lot of funny things to like make reference to, but just thinking back, and I was talking to Seth about it, like, there's just too much sex in that show. They, like, not, like, explicit scenes like you would see on TV now or anything.
But they talk about it.
They talk about it in, like, a crass and coarse kind of way that is.
Yeah. You know, when I was on.
Becoming a believer in really isn't wholesome.
Yeah. When I was at the hospital, you know, I was having some tests done. I had to do this radiation, like, I had to take some stuff, and then they was going to CAT scan me like 4 or 5 times that day. And I had to go sit for a little while and wait and then come back in an hour and do this. And they didn't let me leave. And so they turned on the TV and some stuff came on. I don't remember one of the shows, but I know it was like Friends came on, like a couple episodes of Friends. And I was never really big into Friends either. And I couldn't turn it off. I couldn't like change the channel. So I basically played a game on my phone, but it was on. And I thought to myself, listening to some of that stuff, like, wow, that's kind of raunchy. And just like some of the jokes that they're making.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like what you're saying, you know, when you think about things you may have watched before and thought it was funny or entertaining, then you look at it now and you're like, as a Christian, you're saying, oh, that really wasn't, I don't know why that was appealing to me. And that wasn't a show, but just thinking about that kind of thought of what she was saying there with Seinfeld. Like, yeah. I don't see how that's funny.
Seinfeld. So one thing about Seinfeld is that you have to like Seinfeld as a comedian. So if you're not a big fan of Seinfeld's comedy, of his kind of comedy act and what he says, then Seinfeld, the TV show, isn't funny. Because Seinfeld, the TV show, is about how Jerry gets his bits for his comedy shows.
Yeah.
That's the whole premise of the show. So even like the show about them getting a show about nothing is a play on when they were trying to get the Seinfeld show going with it. And so that's probably, I don't know how much you like, I think Seinfeld is a brilliant comedian in some of the stuff that he says. And the show is, you know, looking back, kind of raunchy. And maybe that's just because maybe as a non-Christian, I didn't care as much.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. But there's times like stuff now is like, wow, I never realized that's what it said. And just kind of like, you know, I am an ignorant and not thinking about what I'm listening to. Yeah. Not be discerning.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like what I used to love. Like I watched The Office and I thought that was funny at the time. There's some things, but well, yeah, this is, you know, like now you look at some of that stuff and like, it's not very funny. Even then there were some things where I'm like, that's not really funny. But let's see what else. You know, I used to watch Cheers back in the day because over my grandpa's and he'd have it on Cheers. You know, where everybody want to go, where everybody knows
your name. Because everyone knows your name.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, let's see what else. Everybody Loves Raymond. I used to watch that back in the day.
That's I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
I always change the channel.
I never, like, I used to like the Jeffersons long ago. I never got into the, what's the other guy where that came out of, Archie Bunker and things. I never really got that show or understood that one. Maybe I'm showing my age too, because those are older. I used to like Wings. You guys remember Wings?
I remember watching some episodes of that.
Yeah. Man, it's hard. Like, I don't even remember some of the shows that I.
There's one with the new show.
What?
With Candace.
Full House.
Fuller House. I didn't watch I haven't watched the new one, but I seen the Fuller House on Netflix thing. A lot of people were talking about it, that not it wasn't good.
Did you watch
it? It was okay. Home Improvement?
Yeah.
Oh, Home Improvement. Oh, yeah.
That's the best show. It's still clean. Like, you can still watch it now.
Have you seen, do you watch Last Man Standing, his new sitcom?
I haven't seen it, but I didn't it like get it. Canceled and then it came back?
Characters got all messed up. The first daughter that was on the first season like left, and then the new oldest daughter really sucked as a character, and I don't know.
I've enjoyed it. I thought it's been, but yeah, it was canceled by ABC and picked up by Fox. Mm-hmm. But it's because Tim Allen is openly conservative, and it's an openly conservative show. Where he kind of mocks liberals.
Yeah.
Which is funny because his oldest daughter is like liberal. And so she gets like kind of, and her boyfriend, husband.
Yeah. But when you said that, you know, it made me think of, because back in the day, I did watch, this was again way before I was Christian, Roseanne, right? It wasn't the greatest show, but you look at some of the things that Roseanne has said over time, and this is very raunchy, just very, you know, filthy, vile, you know, and the things.
Same thing, Married with Children.
Yeah, Married with Children.
Yeah, that was a good show. I mean.
but then she comes back, and then it gets canceled because she offends people. Like, this lady has built her career on offending people. And then she comes back, and now we're living in a different society where you can't offend anybody. On the left, you can't offend anybody on the left, and gets canceled. You know, we're in the cancel culture, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to find anything to watch these days that's clean, you know. Even with like children stuff, like I think I probably watch more cartoons than anything else because, you know, my daughter, we want to watch something or the kids want to watch something. Yeah, even in that, we went to see, what was it? We went to see this Life with Pets movie. I don't know if it was, I think it was part two maybe, or maybe it was one. I think it was part two. We went to see it at the drive-in. And like the whole movie, I was like, this is funny. Like I was laughing at it. And then at the end, like this old dog cusses. And I looked at my wife, I'm like, why did they have to put that in there? We got a little kid here. You know, like I didn't get it. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Why did that have to be in the movie? It's like they have to push the boundaries of things to be like cutting edge or something. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you don't have to. Or watching like some of these superhero movies and shows, like why do you have to put a gay character in every show? Like why do you have to have a gay superhero, you know, or change Superman or whatever to fit some, not yeah. necessarily him, but whoever the person is, to fit a narrative.
I like sort of like that on cooking shows. Most of the TV I watch, if I watch TV, is cooking shows like Chopped, and we really like Cutthroat Kitchen, but Chopped more than Cutthroat Kitchen. Just this pushing of the gay agenda, like you always have this kind of sobby gay story of this gay person on it, and it's kind of like, come on, just. And it's almost to the fact, like, I bet you they let them win. Like, it's almost kind of that narrative in which if they lost, you know, they would get sued or something like that. It's just terrible with it. So, but Cutthroat Kitchen, I've not seen it as much, but it's just funny. It's funny.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's so hard to try to find things to watch anymore these days, and it's like, it's kind of sad. Like,
when are these post mills gonna make all these good videos?
Where are they at?
Come on, post mills.
Yeah, hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag that post mill.
Yeah. Christian movies are the worst, though. I mean, they're horrible. Unless I'm watching a documentary, right? That's about it. Like, find it.
Like, I mean, Gratia.
I mean, American Gospel was really good. I'm not just saying that. Yeah, is that, yeah, Media Gratia.
It's Media Gratia.
They're good for what they are. I mean, I loved like Fireproof and God's Not Dead. I love those. Like, sorry.
I'll be honest. I didn't think Fireproof was bad. I didn't even think Facing the Giants was really necessarily bad. I thought it was clean. I thought there was some cheesy parts to it.
Yeah,
cheese. Even the one with the was it Courageous?
With the
police
or whatever. Yeah.
I thought that, especially that part in when he picks up that guy who is working on his. Well, spoiler. If you haven't seen it, like I don't. It's all like I don't know how many.
Years. I haven't seen it. What are you talking about?
All right. Well,
I'm just spoiler, kidding. Just go
spoiler
on.
Alert. Well, he picks up the guy that's gonna be that's working on his shed or something in the backyard. And they get a call. They got to go pick up this guy. And he's like, just pretend to be a criminal. And so he pretends in the back to be this Mexican, like drug lord guy or whatever. And he's like, the snake eyes. And this other criminal that they're giving a ride is like scared, you know? That was funny. That was actually entertaining. But after that, I wouldn't watch like their other ones that came out after that. With the prayer closet thing with Priscilla Shriver. Isn't she like Tony Evans' daughter?
She is. Something like that. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And then whatever other ones they got coming out after that, I really didn't get into. But I thought a few of those was decent. You know, they're clean. You know, it's a movie you could watch. But a lot of these Christian movies have the same basic theme, or they pull from a theme from an other movie that did something similar.
Yeah.
You know, the one movie.
It's like Hallmark movies.
There's yeah, well, one like. There's
I like
one,
Hallmark.
So I don't know the name of the movie, but they did something like this whenever Apologia had their late night show. I think is who did it, but like there was Family Man with Nicolas Cage, and then there was something with the exact same plot with Kevin Sorbo, but it was Christian.
Yeah.
And then like all kinds of stuff like that.
Or Doc Hollywood. You guys remember Michael J. Fox? He was like this famous doctor who was on his way to some California or some big place to go take on a position, and he wrecks his car or gets pulled over, a speeding ticket or something. He does something with his fancy car, and he's in this small little town, hick town, you know, and he ends up having to pull community service by being a doctor there. Well, they did the same thing with a Christian, you know. So it's, they just take the plots of these movies and they make them Christian. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the same.
Which is sad, because I think, and maybe to the post Mills point, like there are good themes that can be brought out in a movie Christianly without stealing other people's ideas
yeah.
and plot lines. And, you know, and what a better way, in a sense. And I realize a lot of it is money.
Right.
But to demonstrate the power of the gospel,
yeah.
you know, in a visual form. Mm. But yeah, I just didn't feel like.
It's because all those temporary believers flock to the box office.
So here's actually, I think what it is that at least in Reformation or people rooted in Reformation theology and coming out of it has a kind of disdain a little bit of the arts.
Yeah.
With it.
Well, I definitely don't like the any depictions of Christ in anything. Passion, the Chosen thing that I see Christians sharing, and like, oh, this Chosen, it was really good. Like, stop.
Yeah. Well, no, just the artistic elements of art. Like, that's good. I was listening to Thinking in Public with Andrew Peterson. So Thinking in Public is another Al Mohler podcast. And just talking about how Christians don't allow their imaginations to grow and to think about these things. Why, they kind of make, why is the Catholics always the ones making these really good science fiction plots like Tolkien
yeah
and Lord of the Rings, and yeah. there is some theology behind it in which they can think like really evil things and then go to confession, so there is some theological aspects with that. But why don't we have more people like, you know, a C.S. Lewis who can really drive the imagination and to think of good themes in which Christians can watch and do it in a way that is persuasive and going. I think the one problem is that most Christian media is run by people who have soft theology, and that's why most Christian movies are terrible, at least even on a theological level.
Like Pure Flicks.
Oh,
everything
dude.
Pure Flicks puts out is just like it's a copy. It's a steal from some non-Christian movie. You know, the plot, the theme, everything. They're the ones to put out the God's Not Dead stuff. you know, but there's always these movies and these plots that, you know, and they're just cheesy movies. They're not great. You did mention, one of you guys mentioned Hallmark, and I'm just gonna be honest. Come Christmas time, I'm sitting there with my wife watching Hallmark. She loves those movies, and it's my duty as a husband to enjoy those movies with her. Even though the plot is the same in every single Hallmark, you know it's going to happen. You know,
it's okay. Me and my wife sit together and make fun of Hallmark movies. So.
There you go. That's your tradition, right?
Talk about it. But my wife's more, I'll admit, my wife is more into sci-fi. So she likes the Doctor Who.
Yeah, my wife does too. And she just told me, I don't know if you watched the last, if your wife watched the last one or if you watch them with her.
No.
But like, I guess she's like, because we were talking about this the other day with Doctor Who. Like, they made it a woman.
Yep.
And she wears like this rainbow shirt. You know, it's kind of like pushing like that she like almost has a girlfriend type thing. And I said to her, I said, why did you purchase it? Like, why did you get it? She was like, well, I didn't know all this when I got it, but I already paid for it. So I'm like, why? Like, you know, but I'm sorry, man. Yeah. I didn't interrupt you. But Doctor Who.
Yeah. And like even like she's read, I guess C.S. Lewis came out with like a space trilogy.
Oh man.
Like science fiction. And like she really enjoyed it. And it's I just think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And whenever, you know, these post mills get enough money to actually have a decent, you know, studio to record these things, I guess it doesn't have to be post mills, but they're the ones who are pushing it. It would be nice to see Christians engaging in thoughtful entertainment arts thing to think through what is good art and how do I produce it? What is, you know, good music and how can I produce it instead of ripping off the culture, even in our worship songs.
Here's a question for you guys. Can a Christian produce a good artistic film that's rated R?
Yeah, well, I mean,
I think it depends on
why is it rated R? If the actor has to sin to do the acting, then that shouldn't be in there. If the actor does not have to sin, then that's something that can be in there. For example, anytime you're naked on screen, you're sinning. Anytime you're like engaging in a faux sex act on screen, you're essentially sinning. But if you portray murder on screen, you're not actually murdering someone. And depending on how like gratuitous the violence is and like what you're portraying, like Saving Private Ryan, for example, like that beach scene, there's nothing really gratuitous about that because that's exactly what it was like, you know? But it was so violent, it had to be rated R. But like you could portray a sex scene in a movie by, like I've talked about this a lot of times, by like having two people go into a room and close the door and then show a change of lighting and it's morning and they come out, you know what I mean? Like there's ways of leaving it to the imagination where the actors don't sin, where you still portrayed sin, but so I mean that wouldn't cause an R rating, but the violence would.
Yeah.
So I do think things on themes. Are the themes suitable for children or not? And that's a Christian, in that sense, may make a movie in which is not depicting sin or having people sin, but because of the themes in which they are doing, like violence with it. But I don't think it would be, this is pragmatic, but it would not be good for a Christian to make R-rated movies because even Hollywood does this. PG and PG-13 rated movies make more money than R-rated movies on separately, not combined, separately, than what R-rated movies make. And so to influence the culture in that way, produce it, it would be better to keep something under the R rating just because most people tend to watch that more, and usually because they're bringing their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it wouldn't be as advantageous to go with an R rating. Although, you know, in this life, there's a sense in which there's some things in the Bible that if you were to depict it on screen would be R rated.
Right.
I do think if you were to depict it on screen that it would cause those actors, the actresses to sin in that way too.
Yeah.
Well, I think like what Nathaniel was saying there though, like there's ways I think you can go about, because some things, especially like if it's a war movie, let's say you're making a war movie and you're trying to depict it as accurately as you can. Like, I think you can eliminate some of the cursing, or maybe even eliminate cursing and have people speak in such a way where you don't necessarily have it, but still have a realness to it. You know what I mean? And then the same thing with, like, I think you can depict some of those things where it's probably going to get a harder rating because of, like, war is just, it's gruesome. So, as you know, as you were saying, there was Saving Private Ryan. But I think there are some things where you can leave things up to the imagination of people and yet still depict things in a way that we know these aren't good. And so you're trying to show this is not good, you know, but leaving it to where you're not then like was brought up, not causing an individual to sin per se doing that, you know, because I agree. Like if you have two people and they're acting, I mean, look at Hollywood. So many people go from this person to this person to this person. And where do they usually hook up? On the set of a movie they're filming together, because they have these love scenes or whatever. So they're in love with this person and they're married to this person, but then that's just over because they filmed a movie with this person and now they're with that person, you know, for how long until they make another movie where they're with some other actress or actor. Right.
Yeah.
So like you're putting people into situations where you're putting people into sinful activity and they're not Christians to begin with, it's going to be easy for them to just kind of continue in their sin. But then now try to put Christians in that situation. I think even with Kirk Cameron, when he mentioned the fireproof thing where at the end where he kissed the woman that he was the actor, it wasn't even her that he was kissing. They brought in like his wife.
Yeah, his wife. And then they put a screen to get the silhouette so you didn't even notice that it was a different person. You could just, you know, you assumed that it was, you know, the character from them.
Yeah. And so I think you got to guard yourself as a Christian, you know, if you're in acting. There's roles you just can't take and can't do. To your point too, Mike, I do think that there is a lot of movies that would make money and they don't have to necessarily be rated R to do so.
Yeah.
But people want to push that for some reason to make a movie rated R, you know? And they could get by without it.
Because I think it's easier. It's easier to make a rated R movie. Because you just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Your lines can be whatever they want. You can show kind of whatever you want.
Yeah, just throw some flesh in it and then it sells tickets, you know?
Yeah.
And so I do think there's a sense in which making a PG movie, a G movie, a PG movie, and a PG-13 movie is harder because you have to
be artistic.
You have to be artistic, but you also have to make it where people aren't, you know, doing things that would warrant a bigger thing. And so you're limited on what you can show. But I think half of these movies I watched that I wish I hadn't, you know, you can see it, like, what's the point of some of these scenes except for just to put it in there?
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't, I think that's kind of where I think and Christians and media arts in doing that, you know, making meaningful scenes that work. My wife and I were just talking about, we're reading a new book on marriage kind of through the eyes of the Puritans. And the Puritans write thick books, but they don't write fluffy books. Every word is carefully thought about and put in there and to move and to push a point. And I feel like some of the times in TV shows, you just have fluff. like I'm trying to make my paper longer. You know, I'm just going to throw something in there instead of having something that is substantial and moving.
Right. So.
Yeah. Just texting my wife, said, heat me up some food. I'm starving.
Yeah, me too. And the dogs need to go out, so. Yeah.
Well, this has been an interesting show. We talked about a lot of things. You know, another show came to my mind real quick was Monk. Like I've been.
I never got into Monk.
Well, I've watched it. You know, I wasn't really big into it, but I've watched.
Seems too holier than now.
Who, Monk?
Yeah, seems so holier than now.
Yeah, well, he was a very what's the when you don't like germs? He was
germaphobe.
And there's some America. Things that are, yeah, there's some things that are funny in it, but yeah, so anyways, that was another show that came to mind. But anyway, I think that's been enough for the after show. I'm going to go grab some food, and, you know, I need something to eat, man. And so next week, 1689, doing it again, chapter 19.
10.
Yeah. Nathaniel, we're going to convert you. We're going to go through the whole 1689 and just keep pushing. Little in there, and just be like, come on over, keep reforming.
Uh-huh.
Finish out the Reformation.
Yeah. So now we love you, bro. So love you. All right, man. You guys, I will talk to you soon. And until then,
see ya.
That's been it. So
this long. Is.